Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Coming up, the Red Sox front office report with Chaim Bloom. This is Rich. Hello, Rich. Rich?
Yes.
What's up?
I wanted to talk about Garoppolo, Patriots getting credit for his success with the 49ers.
Yeah.
I want to agree with Wiggy. What he was saying, that Patriots shouldn't get it. That'd be like giving the Falcons credit for Brett Favre.
Or the Packers credit for Brett Favre. He's right, though. How do you say that's a good draft by Belichick when he didn't do anything for you? That'd be like saying the Buffalo Bills did the Buffalo Sabres did a great job with Taylor Hall because he comes here and he's successful.
This is the first time I've ever heard this. The draft is not identifying the most talented player available.
No. But when the guy goes,
did Bill identify Jimmy Garoppolo as a talented player?
Where did Jimmy Garoppolo have success? Was it under Bill Belichick's coaching staff or under Kyle Shanahan's coaching staff?
Well, he had enough success under Bill Belichick's coaching staff that Bill wanted him instead of Tom Brady.
So six quarters is enough success?
I don't know. You're questioning Bill on that?
I'm asking you. You're the one defending.
I don't understand this. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick loves Jimmy G.
Yeah.
He did not want to trade him.
Right.
Bill Belichick believes that Jimmy G would have been as successful, if not more, if he remained here.
Right.
He was a good draft pick.
No, but we don't know if he would have been a good draft pick for Bill Belichick.
I have no idea. I don't understand.
How do you not see it?
I don't understand. I'm not trying to be an ass. I genuinely don't understand
you
what
don't
we're arguing
see,
about.
You give Bill Belichick credit for drafting Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, we do.
But Garoppolo's success came under the San Francisco 49ers coaching staff.
Right.
Because that's where he went and started.
Over Bill's dead body that happened.
What's the most ridiculous thing you've ever argued?
No, it's not. It's not a ridiculous thing. You can't give a team credit when a guy has success for another organization.
Okay, so Bill missed on the Garoppolo pick.
No, we don't know what the Garoppolo pick was. We don't have enough sample size of it.
Oh my
for
God.
The Patriots.
It's 7 years.
Oh no, no, for the Patriots. Okay, so if he comes back to the Patriots and doesn't perform well, do you then say that was a bad pick by Bill Belichick?
No, you know I think if you reach the Super Bowl and you're a second-round pick, that's A+.
We actually have the opportunity to talk about this with an actual general manager or chief baseball officer, so let's do that right now.
It's time to get some intel on the Sox. It's the Front Office Report on EEI.
And it's brought to you this week by Unified Office, where they help restaurants maximize revenue and avoid placing customers on hold. See unifiedoffice.com for more. And Chaim Bloom joins us this morning. Hey, Chaim.
Morning, guys.
So when it comes to the draft, if you personally draft a player and that player goes on to have success elsewhere, would you consider that to be a successful draft for you?
Well, I'm glad you asked the question that way. I was worried you were going to ask me to weigh in on what the Patriots should do, and I'd be way out of my depth there. And I would also add, it's not we draft players together. There's a lot of work that goes into this, a lot of people that are putting in the work. And, you know, it's really, really important to recognize. But, look, I think when we're making these picks in the draft, you know that once prospects get in the system, their careers can take a lot of different directions. The goal is to bring as much talent into the system as possible. You know, some of that talent is going to flourish immediately. In baseball, obviously, a lot of the benefits are usually more down the road because they have to go through the minor leagues. And sometimes these guys, their careers take different twists and turns. Some of them you might use in a trade, and if you get what you need out of that trade and they flourish elsewhere, then you're happy. Everybody got what they wanted. If a guy does find success elsewhere that doesn't happen with you, sometimes you need to look in the mirror and say, was there something with this player that we failed to get the most out of him? So, you know, I think it depends on the situation, but in general, you're trying to bring talent in the system that can impact major leagues in a positive way. And anytime anybody that you select does that, I think it's a feather in the cap of the scouting department.
Well, let's talk a little bit about last night. Big win. I was chastised earlier for suggesting that if you had to pick, that the Celtics win may have been bigger just because of the position that they are in currently. But everybody to an individual in the room said I was an idiot again. So huge win last night for this organization.
Yeah, it was a great, really, that whole, you know, both games in that series were great. Just, you know, old-fashioned pitcher's duels. And when you're going up against a guy who I think is probably the best guy doing this right now, to come out of that game with a win, especially a 1-0 win, is awesome.
Hey, Chaim, in terms of Garrett Whitlock, who had a big part of the win last night as well, what do you want him to be long-term, and how do those discussions go? Is he going to be a high-leverage, late-inning guy? Is he going to be a starter of the future, or is his current role what he'll always be?
Well, down the road, I mean, when we took this guy in Rule 5, we took him because we liked him as a starting pitching prospect. And you recognize when you do something like that in the Rule 5, you're skipping some steps. That's how you acquire a player like that. In this case, we were taking a guy coming off of a Tommy John rehab who had never pitched above AA. Now, he has exceeded, I think, anything we could have reasonably expected of him out of the chute. And so he's earned himself a more consequential role. Obviously, you saw the confidence in him to bring him into a one-run game last night. But, you know, I think that upside to start long-term is still there. There's a lot of things to manage right now, and some of that is just making sure we're doing right by him and not putting too much on him too soon, both in terms of the role and also in terms of just physically what's responsible to do with someone, you know, coming off of Tommy John surgery who hasn't pitched in the big leagues before. But I think, you know, we may see there's a lot of different directions this could go, and I don't know that we know all the twists and turns the season's going to take. But the role he played last night, the role he's in right now, that's going to be really, really important for us. You know, I think, you know, obviously we know it's helpful to have really good starting pitching. We know what good short relief does for you at the end of a game. Over the course of a season, especially this season coming off of a short year that we had last year, having guys who can go multiple innings, who you trust in close games, that could be big for a staff. And I think you'll see, as the summer goes on, a lot of the teams that are having success are going to be doing it because they will have guys like that. So I think that's a really good place for Garrett to be right now, where he can go multiple innings and he's earned the right to now do that in close games. And we'll see how it evolves from there. But we love his upside for the future.
Hi, when you look at your pitching, it's not just your starting pitching, but even like with Matt Barnes, who looks like he's having a really good year up to this point, what's the difference as far as what they're doing differently this year that, you know, versus last year that you go, wow, this pitching is really doing well, and if we can keep them in this position, we're going to have a really good baseball team here?
Well, there's a lot of different things that have happened, and, you know, first and foremost, I think you have to give credit to the guys themselves who have gone out there and done it. But I would say staff-wide, the biggest difference that I see is just more aggressiveness and a sense of purpose. Just remembering that as a pitcher, you hold the baseball, you have the privilege of dictating the action, and you don't want to waste that privilege. So you want to go right after hitters. There's nothing you can do to put yourself in a better position as a pitcher than controlling the count. No hitter is better when they're behind in the count. And so attacking the strike zone with all your pitches and just making sure that you're dictating the action, you're dictating how the at-bat goes, that usually leads to a lot of success. And, you know, we're seeing that in some cases there's guys who have done it basically every outing like Matt has. And in some cases you saw one of the biggest differences with Garrett Richards' last outing is that he was able to do that. And he was always on the attack. And so hitters can never get comfortable in the box against him.
When it comes to Richards, you know, we had obviously it's what we do here. We had spoken about kind of the way in which he was responding media wise to some of his previous performances. Is he a guy who, one of these guys who can, if there's some negative feedback out there that he responds to that with a performance like the other night?
I think he showed us a ton, you know, with what he did last night, and a lot of credit to him, and, you know, also to Dave Bush for, you know, them putting their heads together and finding something that was going to work for him to turn that around. You know, we have to remember, obviously, things have gone really well for us as a team coming out of the gate. It's rare and basically almost never happens that all 26 guys are going to be at peak performance all the time. The season has peaks and valleys, and it's important just to make sure that, you know, while we're doing everything we can to help guys get out of those valleys when they're in them, that, you know, we remember it is a long season and we don't lose confidence in trusting guys that we believe in. But you got to give him credit for, you know, just turning that around and showing us what he can do and what he can be. He's got a long major league track record. Obviously, he struggled to stay healthy at times, but when he's been out there, he's basically always been a really capable major league pitcher, and he showed us why.
Chaim, are you concerned at all about the sort of home field advantage, disadvantage you will be playing at? Because this weekend you got to start a four-game series with the Rangers at a full capacity ballpark, and Governor Baker this week said that the plans are not to make that the case in Boston until August 1st. So you're going to be playing in 25%, 50% capacity while playing on the road in full buildings. Does that concern you at all?
The road aspect of it doesn't. Look, it's never easy to play on the road. Our group's done a wonderful, wonderful job of that so far. I think they'll feed off of that energy that fans bring. And, you know, we want to have that here at home. We understand why we can't right now. And, you know, we understand that we have to reopen responsibly. This is bigger than us. But there's no question when we can have our fans back in full force. Look, I spent a lot of years as a visitor of Fenway Park, a full Fenway Park. It's not fun. And, you know, I think it can and will be an advantage for us when we get back there. But we know that that's a decision that goes well beyond baseball.
Chaim, you talked about, you know, pitchers being aggressive. As a former professional athlete, in football you're taught have a short memory, but it seems like baseball players, you know, they have one of the longest memories around because they're always trying to figure out, what did I do wrong? How do you get a pitcher to be aggressive? Is it about confidence or is it about having that short-term memory? What's the main thing to have a pitcher have that ability to just go out there and just attack batters?
Yeah, it's so individual because different guys are wired differently, as you know. You know, what works for one guy may not work for somebody else. Some guys want a lot of information. Some guys function best when they're not thinking about too much. So, you know, it's really a total organizational effort where I think everybody is chipping in with what they can do to get this message through. And some guys really want to see the information, the proof, you know, that this is a good thing. Some guys, it's more of an emotional thing. To me, it's really just something that makes sense. So however we get that message through to guys, you know, again, people learn differently. And the key is, like you said, sometimes you might get negative feedback. You might attack the zone early in counts and get hit. Sometimes that happens. And, you know, for different guys, it's different. How do you get them to remember, to realize that we're not, you know, we want to make good bets. We're not going to win every single good bet that we make. There are bad beats in life, but we shouldn't let that chase us off what we know is going to work over the long haul.
All right, finally, if you were Bill Belichick, would you draft a quarterback tonight?
Again, I am way out of my depth here. And I venture to say that Bill Belichick probably knows just a wee bit more about the game of football than I do. So I'm going to defer to him.
Defer to Bill. All right. That's what more of us should do around here. Defer to Bill. He's pretty good at it. All right, Chaim, thank you.
You bet. Good talking to you guys.
All right, Chaim Bloom on the Harbor One Hotline, and here is Ken Laird to tell you what is trending.
I'd like to go now, but we're delayed.
What do you mean we're delayed?
Well, you're behind.
It's not me.
So it's not trending yet.
We're a team here.
Well, yeah, we're all delayed.
I mean, all of us are behind.
He pulled a Jaylen Brown. All right, hey, so, I'm playing well. I don't know about
but
the rest
quick
of
pivot. Bloom is looking unbelievable as a GM. Compare him to Bill lately. Pavetta is smoking. Richards
is
bouncing back. The Whitlock pickup, Richards. I mean, this guy is on fire.
What about AC? I mean, he was not necessarily in on Alex Cora, and he went with Alex Cora, and that seems like a brilliant move.
I got that Chaim Bloom hates Charlie Baker from that interview.
Tweet that out.
All right. We will be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Along with the Twitch chat over here this morning, and not only did Elon Musk over there take a shot at me when it comes to technology on the Twitch chat earlier, Christopher Curtis, with regard to faxing my response to you.
I'm sorry, also, you actually never faxed.
Also, Kendra is all over the Twitch chat interacting with the Twitchers.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, is there a rule against that? Or,
no,
I mean,
rule
against it. Whoever this mystery guest host is, you've waited 3 weeks to get her in.
Right. And I think that the contestants, the four that have come in, they're probably like, you know, let me kind of continue this buzz to see what I need to do mm-hmm. to win the job.
When it comes to the speculation about the fifth guest host, they are now suggesting on Twitch that Curtis did not accidentally throw that name out there. It was thrown out as a red herring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
It's only Curtis was that smart.
Well, we know Wiggy does not like red herring because he doesn't like seafood except for crab.
Oh, right. It's like a Belichick thing.
Or ladles.
By the way, the Laird Man also on Twitch.
Oh, you are?
Yep. Just arrived.
Oh, you are?
Got heckled right away.
Is that your username, the Laird Man?
Nope.
Don't you need like a Twitch password or something?
It sounds so ridiculous when you refer to yourself as the Laird Man.
You were the Hillman for 28 years.
I know. That was decades ago. The Laird Man. Yeah, and you don't call yourself the Laird Man.
That was 2 years ago.
It's an homage to you.
Ken, do you make your reservations on Open Table saying the Laird Man?
Reservations? What the hell is that?
He doesn't go out. He doesn't go out to eat.
I forgot.
He doesn't go out to eat. This is Caleb. Hello, Caleb.
Yes. Hello. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Good. Not much. I've been enjoying the show.
Thank you.
This show is so fun. It's, one day I'm on the hip, on top of the Greg Hill, then I'm on the Wakes training them and the Curtis boat, and then sometimes I even creep into the lair of Ken, and then some days I hate you all, some days I love you all. It's a great show.
Well, thank you very much.
I wanted to make a comment. I'm going to do a quick little activity with you guys, and hopefully I can make my point after. So here, you guys are going to guess which NFL quarterback this is.
Okay.
All right. Average of 109 passing yards per game, average of 0.66 touchdowns per game, an average of one interception per game. Who is that?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm guessing it's Jimmy Garoppolo based on the
Jimmy
discussion.
Jimmy Garoppolo in the postseason. So when we talk about this guy being an upgrade from Cam, when Jimmy G was at his best and was not, he did not bring the 49ers, they brought him. His numbers are comparable to Cam Newton's career worst season last year.
Right.
So I would not give up a single asset to move laterally. The only trade I would make is say, hey, 49ers, we'll trade you Cam Newton. You guys get a veteran quarterback as you bring up your rookie, and we get a veteran quarterback to bring up our rookie in case neither of them pan out. You know, because I do think we should draft a quarterback. And to me, it's almost irrelevant who is starting week one as a veteran because they're eventually going to be replaced, whether it's Jimmy G or Cam. I think you move laterally. I don't think Jimmy G is any better because he's unreliable. And when he was at his best, he's had an NFL record for 8 pass attempts in the NFC Championship game. And those are his numbers. So. Yeah. Want to hear your guys' thoughts on those stats and how they stack up.
Well, Wiggy thinks he's worse. I'm guessing.
You
worse
than who?
You got to listen
Cam Newton. Oh,
you got to listen to Greg and Curtis because they'll tell you that Jimmy Garoppolo is this great draft pick by Bill Belichick.
And
is
my God.
The next best thing since Tom Brady.
What was he not? Was he a good draft pick? Did Bill make a good pick on Jimmy Garoppolo? A player who went to a Super Bowl.
Stop it with that. He went to a Super Bowl because just the same way Ken and I will kind of crack a little bit and say Brady was a little bit of a passenger, you know, and we're kind of joking about
all
that.
Right, so Jimmy G
was truly a passenger. He was no different than Trent Dilfer going to the Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens.
Wiggy, have you seen the record of Kyle Shanahan with and without Jimmy
Garoppolo?
Yeah,
I saw that. So I actually have it written down.
So why is he so much better with Jimmy G?
Well, I'm not saying the team isn't better with him because...
That's the whole point.
Without
him, diagnosed talent.
Without him, they're playing with Nick Mullins and Blaine Gabbert.
Listen, if I need you to think about this, Wiggy.
The goal
of a general manager is to identify and draft talent.
Okay.
Bill Belichick, I can't believe this is a weird world. I'm defending Bill Belichick, yelling at Wiggy. Bill Belichick did a brilliant job taking Jimmy G with the 60th pick in the draft. It was a high value, high talent selection who became a Super Bowl starting quarterback.
Okay.
That is a good draft pick. Where he goes and where he plays is irrelevant.
So Cam Newton was a good draft pick.
Well, yeah.
Because he went to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely
he was.
MVP. Yeah, he was the number one pick.
Of course.
So do we only base whether or not a guy is good? So Robert Griffin III was a good draft pick.
Okay, Wiggy, you can just focus on what we're specifically talking about.
You're saying this is how I'm supposed to view a good draft pick. Robert Griffin III had a very good season his first year with the Washington. At that time, it was the Redskins.
No, for what they paid and the amount that they used to get up and get RG3, that was a waste. That was a bust.
Jimmy G had one good year in the NFL.
Right. He was found in the 60th pick in the draft, not in the top 10.
And it was a little bit better than average. 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
24-8 as a starter.
Wiggy on Twitch, Beast Mode New Hampshire says you were a passenger in 2001.
Know what? Passengers don't set records. I mean, if I was a passenger, then hey, guess what? I was a passenger who set records. He had one good year in the NFL where when you look at his numbers statistically, a year where he played a full season, it was a decent year.
Was Tom Brady a passenger last year?
Yes, he was.
Some people would make that argument.
I think Linda made that argument.
So now all of a sudden, Jimmy G is the guy that we should be hitching our wagon to for the next...
No, you said it was not a good draft pick. That is dumb. It was a good draft pick.
How? When he did nothing for your team.
I can't.
Don't we base draft picks on how they perform for your organization?
Sure.
He never had
If given the opportunity.
He was given the opportunity.
Yeah, he won a great road game in Arizona.
He played six quarters.
Right, and he did well.
This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Morning, guys. How are we doing today?
What's up, Mike?
So, look, I'm not on the Cam train at all. I'm not. I think his great years are way, way behind him. It's like a new car. If you're going to talk about his career numbers, part of the numbers you're talking about is like that new car smell when he was great. But you're forgetting the fact, like, you know, that there's nowadays we've got that, like, you know, moldy piece of pizza that's been sitting under the seat for like a month. So you got to factor in how he is now. And as for Jimmy G, I'm not sold on that whole idea either, because I think the last caller made a lot of great points. What has he done in the playoffs? I think he's better than Cam, but I don't think it's really a great idea. I'm a Mac Jones guy, but if you're going to have Cam as your backup, I think Justin Fields is more of a consistent type of quarterback, where if you're going to bring a young guy up, Cam Newton's probably a pretty good mentor to at least use his knowledge from when he was that new car smell to give to Justin Fields and say, this is how I was able to do it when I was successful. This is what's going to help you.
So there's no measurable difference between Cam Newton and Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think it's not a very large measurement. I think it's not worth. I don't think it's worth what you're going to have to probably give up to get Jimmy G. The upgrade is very minimal.
Yeah, you're talking about pubic hairs on that one. I mean, that's the thing now. I can't believe we anointed Jimmy G as, you know,
right,
the Tom Brady Jr.
Nobody. What color are they?
He's Tom Brady Jr. What are you talking about?
He was
about?
This great draft pick. How was he a great draft pick?
You don't understand it. I don't know how or why. I understand it.
He played in six quarters for your team.
The person that drafted Drew Brees with the 32nd pick of the second round.
Uh-huh.
Made a good draft pick, even though he played his best football with the Saints.
Drew Brees played, what, 20 years in the NFL at 18?
Was Eli Manning a good draft pick?
By the Chargers?
Yes.
Unfortunately, not. Because they traded him away and he won two Super Bowls.
Was his good draft
pick? Then you're judging the trade, not the pick. How can you not see this?
He can't see it.
Was Eli Manning a good draft pick? No.
Okay, I'm going home.
No.
I'm going to get drunk by noon.
I'm not going to give Bill credit for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, I understand
that. He was a good draft pick. He played one season.
Hey, Wiggy, get with it, man. The Wiggy Mental Workout is brought to you by Precision Fitness Equipment. Check out their spring floor model sales event right now at precisionfitnessequipment.com.
All right, Wiggy's mental workout underway right now. We got to get to Ken and what is trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the Subaru of New England. Love spring event. It's here. Complete details. Find your authorized retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. This Twitch thing is very distracting, first of all. It's also wild.
Yeah, I mean, I have a ship to steer here, so I can only come in and out of the Twitch chat, but I mean, they're very passionate about the program.
I give Kendra credit, though. She's tampering with, you know, a segment of the listening audience.
She's like preaching to the choir. Right? I mean, it's smart.
That's what she's supposed to do.
It's smart on her part.
Well, a lot of draft intel today. The latest from Rappaport and Schefter that we heard a couple hours ago. Jimmy G doesn't sound like a trade is imminent. Unlikely is, in fact, the term that was used. The team that is supposedly in the mix to trade up the most, per Rappaport, is the Saints into the top 10. And they would have to go, Wiggy, I believe, from 28
right
all the way up there. So would they be after your guy, Justin Fields? Now the breeze is gone.
They're in the market for a quarterback.
But how far does Bill have to move up tonight to get his guy if it's one of those two guys?
I personally don't think it's that far.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't think Atlanta's taking a quarterback. Everybody's saying Kyle Pitts is going to be, you know, the next guy off the board, the tight end. And if you're Atlanta, you already have talent with Ridley. Why not add a guy like Kyle Pitts? Cincinnati's not taking a quarterback. Miami's not taking a quarterback. Detroit, I don't think, is taking a quarterback. And Carolina at number 8. I don't think that Carolina's even taking a quarterback in Denver. So, you know, I feel like that maybe 10 at Dallas or even 11 with the Giants.
But you got to watch out for teams like the Saints going up and grabbing it.
Right, but they'll have to package up more of a better deal to get that high up. And can they do that?
But Dallas is not going to take a quarterback.
No, Dallas. But maybe that Dallas is one of the teams you could trade with. They're a 10, so maybe you could go, hey, give us your pick, flip, and we'll throw a second round in. The one that everybody wants to throw Jimmy Garoppolo in. Bill Belichick's great draft. You know who else was a great draft pick, Curtis? Sony Michel. He had one good year and won a Super Bowl.
Wait, I'm just not even addressing him.
Final NFL Network mock draft. Daniel Jeremiah has the Pats going to 11, Wiggy, with the Giants for Trey Lance. Lance at 11. That's what Jeremiah says. Who's the Wiggy prediction? Not who you want. We know who you want. What are they going to do?
I think they're trading up and getting a quarterback.
They are?
Yes.
You really think Bill's doing
that? I really believe it.
Who?
You want Justin Fields.
I want Justin Fields, but I'm like Ben Volen. I'm happy with any one of the three, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields. But I'm also in the Ninkovich camp where Justin Fields and Trey Lance give you the ability to do something that you've never been able to do.
Hillman liked the Celtics win last night. Was done without Kemba and also Marcus Smart, who was suspended for the game.
Well, I like it because they're in dire circumstances. That's why I like it. I like it because I think Jaylen Brown has stepped up of late and is some kind of a leader on this team and is maybe, as he tells you, imploring guys to get their heads in it and to want it. So, yeah, I do. I like that.
And here was Jaylen after the game. I think this was the cut you may have referenced earlier.
Every leader should want to do that. Can't just be all talk. Got to, you know, back it up and be the example, not just say it. So I think everybody should be what they're trying to, you know what I'm trying to say.
He's a better example guy than he is.
I was referring earlier to the post game
from the night before.
On what?
After the Oklahoma City loss.
Immediately after the game on NBC Sports, where he talked about the drama that they have dealt with this season. I don't know what the drama is. Is the drama people complaining about Brad Stevens? He talked about the negativity. The negativity in this town sucks. He seems to feed off. Maybe he is feeding off that, which to me would be a good thing heading into the playoffs.
Spurs up next tomorrow night, 7:30. Tonight the Bruins have the Sabres. Red Sox in Texas for the first of four, 8:05 first pitch after their big win last night. 7:05 pregame on the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Join Mutt and Andy Hart, 6 to 7. And then after the game, Hart sticks around, and he'll be on with Brian Barrett, Ryan Hannibal, and they'll be reacting to the Pats picks until 2 a.m. here on Sports Radio WEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
So now Ken Laird has joined the Twitch chat, and they are picking the rejoin music for the program. Is that the way it's going to work?
Correct.
And they're going to pick bands that infuriate me, like Rush, the worst band in the history of recorded music. Is that what's going to happen?
Now, you have good music taste. What is your beef with Rush?
What is next from those people? They want Radiohead, let me guess.
Radiohead's good.
Here, speaking of Twitch, here is Lady Jade, who is a big Twitcher. Hello, Lady Jade.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
What's happening?
What's going on?
I was just taking my one call, hoping that my connection's okay with the rain, to say that you guys were crushing it in the dumpster fire. That's the Twitch chat.
No, define crushing it.
I mean, you know what? You took the, 30 seconds? You came in, you said hi, and everyone lit up. You know, they loved it. It was great.
Well, I enjoy it. It's very difficult to, as I said earlier, to steer the ship. However, I'm doing my best to monitor every point of the access. So
you are doing a great job. And honestly, I can't imagine any of us expect you guys to be able to watch that mess and run your show.
But I think Kendra has gained some points for herself by joining the Twitch chat.
She has. And she's great in there. She's really good at, honestly, just keeping up with everyone and talking with everyone. It's refreshing.
Have any of the other guest hosts joined, like Brittany or anybody?
I believe at one point Kwani did come in and say hi, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But off the top of my head and reading what they're saying, I don't see any other names popping up.
Has Governor Sununu joined the Twitch chat at any point?
Not yet, but that would be fabulous.
Actually, Lady Jade and Greg, speaking of Governor Sununu, a great request was just made to me that I book Governor Sununu as a guest host for a full show.
Oh, we should do that. Let's do that for next week.
I love it.
I bet he would do that.
Absolutely. And then Ken can just be really weird smoking pot in here.
Can we just hire Mego already? What the hell are we doing?
We are crafting a masterpiece is what we're doing.
Do you think we get the real Sununu, though?
What do you mean?
Like where he just, you know, hey, give us the real you, or is he like, I got to be careful what I say. Got a lot of people in New Hampshire watching me.
If he performs well in Massachusetts, does that not count to his reputation in New Hampshire?
Right. I think he would be. He's always the real Sununu. He answers a question immediately. Mm-hmm. He doesn't start it off with a look, so he has time to think about it.
And he says he has a good relationship with Baker, but if I'm Charlie, I am pissed at him. Every time he comes on, he makes Charlie look awful.
Is there any pressure at all on Governor Charlie Parker to open things up before August 1st? Now that New York City is opening up on July 1st.
You would think, but he ain't doing it. If New York City's opening up July 1st, and it's full go, 100%?
100%.
Are we sure about that?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you hear the breaking news report from Christopher Curtis?
Well, I don't see it on the New York Post headline. You'd think they'd have it.
God, can I tell you my biggest pet peeve with Ken, who I love more than anything? Uh-huh. I genuinely would do anything for him.
Doesn't sound like it.
Whenever I'm reading a report, he sort of snakes his way right behind me to read over my shoulder to make sure that I'm accurately reporting the news.
Well, your research is terrible.
And I never saw this until Twitch and these people pointed out to me. It's like, he's like my big brother.
Oh, so now the people on Twitch are dry snitching on Ken Laird to Chris Curtis?
Yes.
It's important to know where source material was coming from. I mean, is Curtis being accurate with the info? Is it actual data?
If it's not accurate, it's problematic.
Okay, let's mock that, because who wants a radio show that's as accurate information?
Well, first of all, Curtis is Q, so his information is the most accurate that is available. I mean, come on.
Would only in Boston lie.
Is it only in Boston that shared that? Yeah. Only in Boston is very accurate.
Well, you would think that would be big news, right? So it would be more than just only in Boston.
The New York Post, idiot. Headline, Mayor de Blasio says he plans to fully reopen New York City on July 1st.
Okay, I see it now.
July 1st. Well, that's good. One full month before this state and nearly 2 months before the city of Boston.
Wow. And that's New York.
What a joke. Yeah, this mayor.
But what
does
fully open mean?
This acting mayor
is destroying any kind of economy that we might have this summer.
Greg,
summer, destroying it.
Do you know what gets planned around this time? Maybe a summer wedding?
Yeah.
You know, Boston's got some phenomenal places
they do.
To have a wedding.
Beautiful skyline.
The most beautiful city in the world. Oh, can't do it. So guess who's winning? Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York?
Wow. Yeah. Can you believe? This is amazing that New York City is opening up before us. And that was ground zero.
It is shocking.
Axios is also reporting that, Ken, in the case you wanted to double check.
100%.
It is. It's absolutely. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
it is disgusting to me.
Yeah, you should be ashamed. If you're the mayor or the governor, you should be really like ducking. When New York City is like, yo, July 1st, it's full go. We're opening up 100% capacity in restaurants. Everybody's good. You got problems.
That's why it's clearly not based, unfortunately, on any kind of science.
No, hell no.
So, you know, the argument when I would whine about this, as some of the Ken PR fans suggest, the answer would be because we are a more populous state. Boston is a more populous city than any that exists in New England.
Right.
That would be science-based, right? This is not based on science whatsoever. It's arbitrary. It's throw a hunk of cookie batter at the wall and see where it lands. And if you're Mary Lou Sutter's lifetime social worker, then you have suddenly determined that this state has to open up a month after New York City? I mean, absolutely ridiculous. And horrible for these people who are trying to find a way to make ends meet and work their jobs and keep their businesses. Disastrous.
Man. Should she be answering calls about block cheese and EBT cards?
Hello, Bob.
Hey, obviously there was some huge news this week. Did you hear the Counting Crows single?
I did. What do you think of it?
I like it. It's kind of definitely more old-fashioned-y. Do you think there's a strong case for them to tour to support it?
Yeah, when touring is... I mean, they tour. They always tour.
They'll be in New York July 4th. You think they were there like 1, 2, 3, and one of the band members go, dude, what is you doing? He's like, yo, I'm Counting Crows. I like that name. And that's how they came up with the band name?
Well, there is a... No, that's an expression is Counting Crows. There's a lyric in... A Murder of One, which we will have as a rejoin. Now that I'm thinking of it.
Beautiful.
In which that appears. Brittany is called the program?
Yep. She is our Mel Kiper.
Oh, wait a minute. Is Brittany going to tell us what she thinks Belichick will do in the draft?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you want to take a break and then get to that?
I would love to.
Okay. So Kendra is on. I see how this is going. Kendra is in the Twitch chat. And Brittany is calling to tell us who she thinks Bill will do with the draft tonight. So we will continue with our deep draft coverage with Brittany Ball.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Baldessari coming up next.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
Before I let you go, I have to ask one question because everybody is talking about it. Will we see Nike at all in this year's draft?
And we'll keep that for our draft day secret.
That is Ken's candidate of choice right there, Mego with Bill Belichick. on whether or not you'll see Nike this evening. What are we, 11 hours away, 10 hours away from the draft? Wiggy, are you excited?
8 p.m., yeah.
Are you going to be miserable tomorrow morning, depending on what happens this
evening?
Depends
on how the draft goes. Yeah. I won't be, I mean, I'll be happy that I woke up, but I'll be miserable and, you know, screaming all bloody hell based on who he drafts.
Well, let's see who Brittany believes. Let's see who Brittany believes Bill will draft this evening. Hello, Brittany.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. This is actually the perfect discussion because Ryan and I were just talking about going shopping for our draft day snacks very shortly.
Oh, what are you guys selecting for food when it comes to draft evening?
We're going to try to keep it a little bit on the healthier side. As you guys know, athletes like to stay eating healthy most of the time. Obviously, it helps with muscle recovery and whatnot. But we're going to do like a nice charcuterie board with a bunch of like deli meats and fruits and vegetables. But I think Nike and Belichick are going to make an excellent decision tonight. Mm. Obviously, the Patriots need a quarterback, and I see them potentially trading up with either the Lions or the Panthers for Justin Fields. But my only question in hand is I've been reading that Justin Fields' work ethic might not be the best. People have been saying that he's the last man in and the first man out.
Uh-oh.
I don't know with the Patriot way.
That was just Dan Orlovsky. He's the only one who said that.
What is Dull's favorite snack?
Sorry, what did you guys say? What's Ryan's favorite snack?
Yeah.
Actually, his nickname is, believe it or not, Dell Snacks. He actually has a jersey with it. But he likes to eat all types of snacks. But mostly he stays on the healthy side. But he's been a big ice cream person.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, off and on. He sticks more with the healthy stuff, but on the occasion, he'll go for some like cookie dough ice cream when he can.
Well, Wiggy does love a good charcuterie board. We learned that on the program.
I do like cookie dough, though. Uh-huh. Cookie dough ice cream's really good. I mean, you gotta admit, cookie dough, yeah. It's probably top five ice creams.
Right.
Absolutely, Wiggy.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I hope the colonoscopy went well.
It did.
You got to use your pillow.
It did. It went really well.
He's actually reliving it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I saw your t-shirt. You got vaccinated. But were you lying to the people or did you really get vaccinated?
No, that was for
You're being fraudulent.
I was being fraudulent. That was for my people. My boy hooked me up with that. 617 apparel. That's all that was.
All right. So
I totally see them going for a quarterback tonight. They definitely are in dire need of one.
Right. But you said that there's an issue with the work ethic of Justin Fields. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I read something online a few days ago that he's the last man in and the first man out. So that doesn't really fit the Patriot way, in my opinion.
Okay. It's like our own Diana Rossini.
Bill's going to go in hard on him.
Our own Jimmy the Greek.
All right.
Well, you know.
Now, what else? Rest of the day up until draft time, what do you and Ryan do? Do you guys just hang around all day or?
Ryan actually has to go throw a bullpen, and I actually have to get a bunch of work done. So, no, we are very jam-packed. He's been working out. He actually leaves sometime next week for the start of his season. So he is consistently working out and throwing bullpens and staying at the top of his game because, again, he's been just training by himself essentially for the last year.
Listen,
not by himself. Obviously, he has trainers and whatnot, but not with the team.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to get that call. So
that's it.
All right, Britt, thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.